It can be tricky enough navigating the healthcare system if you live across the street from a doctor's office in a hospital. But when you live in a rural area far from medical amenities and have a complicated medical condition, it's just that much harder. Patients with HIV, human immunodeficiency virus, face the complications and the distance. So the HIV Alliance, based in Eugene, is launching a telehealth program to deliver services to HIV patients who live in rural areas. From the HIV Alliance, we have Paul Homan, the Senior Program Manager, on the line. Welcome, Paul.
Welcome. Thank you.
And Jeff LaRue is with us as well. He is a pharmacist with the HIV Alliance. Hi, Jeff.
Hi there.
So, Paul, let's start with you and just give us the general description of what the HIV Alliance is and what it does.
HIV Alliance is an HIV nonprofit. We're located in Eugene, Oregon, but we serve 11 counties through our care coordination program, and they're all predominantly rural counties, so Marion, Lane, Lincoln, and Southern Oregon, so the coast, Clatsop, which is up in the north coast, and then out actually in eastern Oregon to Klamath and Lake, so a pretty wide area. We have about 900 clients living with HIV and in those 11 counties. We also do prevention and education services in several counties. We have a syringe exchange, and we have testing, and we also do a Hep C care coordination program here in Lane County.
And how long has the HIV Alliance been around?
Well, the HIV Alliance, this is our 21st year in existence. It was back in 1994, basically three other organizations kind of merged to create HIV Alliance, but those organizations existed, kind of were all established back in the mid-80s.
The reason I ask is not just because of the age of the program, but also to get an idea of over the history of HIV Alliance, how much things have changed. I mean, the way we approach HIV and the old, oh my God, HIV is a death sentence, that seems like ancient history now.
It is, but it's ancient history because of kind of the coordinated care programs that had been established through the Ryan White federal funding. So a lot of patients, Ryan White basically has granted access to care to every person living with HIV across the country. I think Oregon actually does a really great job of distributing those funds to give access to care, especially people in rural areas.
And Jeff LaRue, I guess you're better able to talk about the cost of the medications. Are they still very high as they once were?
So the costs are still relatively high, but they've come down quite a bit. And in looking at the cost of the medication, we also have to balance it against the cost of uncontrolled HIV. By spending the money up front to, you know, treat these people effectively, we not only minimize their health costs, but we minimize the spread of HIV, which means fewer infections. And in doing that, we save significant amounts of money.
But I mean, what are we talking about for like a year's worth of medication to keep HIV in check?
Ooh, that's a very good question. For some people, it might be around $10,000. Some people might be $15,000 to $20,000. It is not inexpensive to treat. However, like I said, minimizing the spread of HIV definitely makes sure that those numbers don't explode when we have to cover more people.
Let's talk about the complications, though. I mean, if you're taking HIV medication, which is one of the issues when you're living out in the rural areas, things can go wrong with your medication, especially when you have other medical conditions, as I understand it. Can you talk about that a bit, Jeff?
I can. And so the modern era of antiretroviral medications used to treat HIV is very fascinating. These medications, many patients will just take one or two tablets a day and have an undetectable viral load. In doing this, though, these medications can still interact with a lot of over-the-counter and common prescription drugs. An example that I saw recently was a woman who went into an urgent care. provider for allergies, and was prescribed a Flonase nasal spray to help. But the primary care provider at that clinic did not know that her HIV medication can increase the amount of that Flonase in her body to the point where it can affect her adrenal glands. And so it's one of my biggest roles, and one of the things that we're learning is that being able to coordinate care through HIV can really minimize side effects.
We're talking with Jeff Leroux, pharmacist, and Paul Homan, senior program manager at the HIV Alliance based in Eugene, about their services to HIV patients, which will become a bit more modernized with a grant that will help them extend treatment to rural Oregon. Join us on the exchange with questions, comments, observations, 800-838-3760 by phone in our listening area, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So the idea for the telehealth pharmacy program, I imagine this is one of those things that gets born of necessity over time, Paul? Is this the kind of thing we wish we had, and it kind of grew from there?
Yeah, well, so I actually have been living with HIV for about 12 years, and I can tell you that access to an HIV specialist is really essential for people living with HIV. And as you can imagine, in rural areas, and even rural Oregon, where I do think we have actually a lot of we have better access to HIV specialists. They're very limited. We have about three in Southern Oregon, and serving about 500 clients there. So they don't get a lot of like one-on-one interaction with their HIV specialist. And I think that's what the great thing about this pharmacy program is going to do, because it's going to create better access to HIV specialist providers, which is really important for people living with HIV. And
I'm sorry, let me get my number again. It was three HIV specialists in all of Southern Oregon?
This is Jeff. This is between Roseburg and Ashland. There are three full-time physicians who will treat HIV patients and one part-time physician. And obviously that's a very big geographical area. And so a lot of these patients do have issues when it comes to traveling to their appointments, getting timely care with these specialists. They're all exceptional providers. The goal of this project is definitely to break down some of those barriers.
And so, how is it able to move ahead now? Is it a grant? Is it a loan? What's happened here to make this go a little bigger now?
Yes. So it is this project is funded through the Oregon Health Authority's Federal State Innovation Model, a SIM grant, and the SIM grant supports projects that advance Oregon health system transformation efforts.
And so, what does it pay for? What will you be able to do with the money?
We will be able to provide clients with tablets, which is how they'll interact with our clinical pharmacists who are based here at our office in Eugene. We will be able to actually subcontract to Eastern Oregon Center for Independent Living, who serves people living with HIV in 12 Eastern Oregon counties, all rural. We will be able to, we're entering into a collaborative practice agreement with area physicians as the whole point of the project. Our pharmacists will then be able to order labs, change prescriptions, and order new prescriptions around like comorbidities. Sorry, I can't even say that word.
That's a tough one to say before 9 in the morning.
Comorbidities. It's a hard word to say. that's basically what this grant's allowing us to do. And I think it will create a real efficiency in healthcare. I mean, I fully believe that that the future of rural healthcare will be very dependent on technology, and that is going to help increase access for people living in rural areas. And that's, you know, that's what this project is all about, to measure that efficiency.
We're talking about a telehealth program that will allow the HIV Alliance based in Eugene to provide HIV services to patients living in far-flung parts of southern and eastern Oregon. Paul Homan's the senior program manager, Jeff LaRue the pharmacist. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Now, Paul, I understand that there already is some telemedicine going on, so you've had a chance to practice, essentially, before you gear this up even further.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Jeff, we've had this telehealth program where we've just kind of for clients who have had a hard time with med adherence, and taking meds every day is really challenging, and certain people have a challenge, you know, certain clients have challenges taking their meds, and I'll actually let Jeff talk about that program because he does the work for it, but we've done this for a while. The new element of this is entering into a collaborative practice agreement with the physicians to kind of increase that communication and better serve the clients. But let Jeff maybe tell an anecdote about med adherence with one of our clients.
Yes, please.
And I meet via telehealth with several patients in the Medford, Grants Pass, Ashland area. And what we talk about now is medication adherence, taking their doses every day as prescribed without missing them. Because when they are successful in doing that, we suppress HIV to undetectable levels in the blood. That promotes their long-term health. That also prevents the spread of the virus. Now, as we know, sometimes HIV meds, though we've come a long way since AZT, they still have side effects. They still interact with other medications. And when I notice these interactions through my appointments with these patients, sometimes I have to do a lot of calling, faxing, emailing to address these side effects or these interactions. So by entering into this collaborative practice, this grants pharmacist whose usual role is dispensing or consultation grants me the authority and ability to prescribe medications to treat things like nausea or diarrhea or to choose the very best medicine for high cholesterol that works with the HIV regimen, and to make sure that this beautiful Jenga tower of medications doesn't come tumbling down, that we can keep it balanced and keep these people happy and healthy and minimize the spread.
That's a great analogy, the Jenga tower. So if you pull one part out, everything else can come crashing down.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'll also add, too, in Oregon right now, so a suppressed viral load basically means your chances of transmitting the virus is very minimal. In Oregon right now, 71% of people living with HIV have a suppressed viral load. So we're actually doing really well in that treatment as prevention method.
All right. So Jeff, let me understand a little better, though. I mean, does this give greater power to you as a pharmacist to be able to prescribe things or just a delegation from the doctor? How does that all work?
I think the delegation is a very apt term. And so clinical pharmacists are actually very common in the hospital and, you know, large clinic setting. And physicians and other providers rely on them to help, you know, sift through the multitude of prescription drugs out there to find the very best drugs for the patient. And, you know, and if you're a rural provider in Southern Oregon, in Eastern Oregon, you may not have that resource. And so by entering into this agreement, we are saying to this provider, hey, you know, we are experts in HIV. Let us work together, you know, by signing this agreement. You delegate the authority to me to say, I'm going to pick the very best medicine for this, and we're going to work together to manage this patient.
So are you the only pharmacist doing this, or are there others as well?
So I also partner with Marie Dorsey, who was our original HIV Alliance clinical pharmacist, who just gave birth to a beautiful baby girl, so was not able to join us today. And she's very experienced and true expert in the field. There is a clinical pharmacist up in Portland who handles Multnomah County, and she's a very busy lady, very brilliant. But in terms of clinical pharmacists doing rural outreach and treating HIV, this is definitely an innovative and new thing.
We're talking about telehealth for HIV patients in rural parts of Oregon through the HIV Alliance, where Paul Holman is the senior program manager and Jeff LaRue is the clinical pharmacist. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Paul, I guess what I haven't asked thus far is, are you serving the existing patients that you already serve through the telehealth program or expanding to include new patients?
Well, both, actually. So we, like I mentioned before, we serve 11 counties, and phase one will actually be serving existing patients, increasing their care. Patients are, if they choose not to want to do the pilot program with the collaborative practice, which has to be done via tablet, they can still enroll in our other pharmacy, just regular telehealth, no collaborative practice program. But our phase two will extend out to Eastern Oregon, and so we will probably be seeing a lot of new patients that we have not seen before with our program.
Jeff LaRue, as the clinical pharmacist, having to use the tablets and communicate with patients this way, were there some growing pains, some things to get used to when you first started to do this?
Absolutely. I am the first one to admit that my assistant, Brittany Wright, is the expert in setting up the technology, and she has been a remarkable asset. But in doing this particular project, we reached out to the University of Washington School of Medicine, who conducts teleconferences for providers dealing or working with HIV. And they were able to connect us to a very effective telehealth service. And so when patients receive their technology, they'll really just have to turn on the program and log in, and they'll be in their appointment. It's going to be very simple, and it's a HIPAA-compliant program built specifically for telehealth.
So, I mean, were there some growing pains like, gee, what does this button do? It sounds like your assistant probably is a little more technically savvy than you are.
She's younger.
Digital native. Yeah.
There are definitely growing pains with technology, learning, just which internet services work the best. If patients have access to Wi-Fi, that can mean the difference between a broken conversation or a very smooth conversation. And so these are all learning steps that we, get to continuously apply and, apply to future telehealth models as well.
And how much training do the patients get? I mean, because you probably have to, have the occasional thing like, no, make sure I can see your face, or, don't show me what that thing is on your knee, that kind of thing.
The cool thing is the tablets that we use are relatively simple. Most of the patients that we've worked with have found them relatively easy to use. Brittany will usually spend some time orienting the various patients to the tablet and the different functions, and we have step-by-step instructions that we send them as well.
We're also adding two more Brittanys for this project. One, Portia at EOCIL, Portia Chambers, and then Cherie Warren here at HIV Alliance. So I think there'll be a lot of accessibility for technical support for the patients to get familiarized with the tablets.
Paul, you had mentioned internet provider services, things like that. I wonder how much concern there is when you're talking about expanding telehealth potentially to Eastern Oregon, where it had been said for many years that high internet speeds are not as easy to obtain in rural areas. And I wonder if that is an issue that you're facing.
It potentially will be. We haven't officially launched our project yet. It'll start in July. So I definitely think that could be something that we face. I think we have a lot of workarounds, and we have anticipated a lot of things that could go wrong. And so I think we have the solutions to carry them through. As we, you know, this is not necessarily something that we haven't done. The new element really is the collaborative practice piece. So I feel pretty confident that we're going to hit those snafus in stride, and that they won't disrupt the access to care.
Oddly enough, while we're talking about telehealth and the ability to communicate easily, your phone line is blipping just a little bit, but we're getting most of what you say. You mentioned it as a pilot project. I know, it's a funny thing. You mentioned it as a pilot project. So is there a timeline by which this needs to show some results?
Yeah, it's a 15-month project. So by the end of September next year, we'll have the we'll hopefully show that it's super efficient and that clients appreciate it and enjoy it, and that it has been successful. So come talk to us, I guess, in September of 2016.
All right. So then the new telehealth angle starts on July 1st, just in a matter of days, really. I want to thank you both for joining us at the HIV Alliance. Paul Homan is the Senior Program Manager. Jeff LaRue is the Clinical Pharmacist. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.